Go, go, harmless phosphorescence! Everyone, this is Thoreau Smiley, galactically flared, globally reviled, universally despised, and I am joined by...
I am Josh CC and Angel Grove, how you like me now?
I'm Brian Lesh, master of disaster and a slime-filled jelly donut.
I'm Alaric Weber. I'm a frog.
And this is Harmless Phosphorescence, the podcast where we watch every theatrically released full-length live-action superhero movie ever made. We gather some research into the production and the source material, and we tell you all about it. This week, we are watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
This summer, our world will come under attack.
The mayor has declared a state of emergency.
By the most evil force ever known. He has armies at his command, and only one power on Earth can stop him. Welcome to my nightmare. Now, the ultimate adventure begins.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
You garlic-sucking dick!
We're the Power Rangers.
Ooh, where's my autograph book?
More action. More adventure. More power.
The Ooze is back.
Use, you lose.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The movie.
The movie.
If I was 10 years old, I would be excited as shit to see that movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
That trailer?
Yeah, everybody was excited when that came out. I was about 10.
And if you were 10 years old, you'd be excited as poop.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
And what's your story with that, Brian? Because
not allowed to see this movie or the TV show.
Interesting.
My mom said it was violence for violence sake. And she's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
The first 30 minutes of this movie, there is no plot. It is just them fighting people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we get there. There's a plot. But
skydiving, plot-ish.
But yeah, it was interesting thinking of that because this is the first time I'd ever seen this movie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because I never went to look it up when I was an adult.
You
know?
Yeah.
Your rebellion.
Yeah.
It was the first time I had seen this movie. I had seen a handful of episodes when they first came out, 93, to the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd seen clips and bits of episodes, but I'd never watched a full episode of the Power Rangers.
Same.
Yeah.
I actually did catch the first episode.
I'm strangely aware of all of the names of all these characters because it was something that kids at school would talk about. So watching this movie, I was like, oh, Zordon. I remember that name.
Right. So, you know? Yes. Through osmosis.
I actually have a weird memory of being at Mimi and Terry's house and it like coming, like a commercial for it coming on. And I can't remember. It was you, me, and someone else might have been like McJunkin or someone was there and being like, what the fuck is that during high school?
Yeah. Yeah. It was confusing right out of the gate.
It was one of those things where I know. So Brian was the perfect age. He wasn't allowed to see it. We were all probably like 4 or 5 years too old for it to be anything to us at all.
Right.
Me, Josh, and Al. But
and anime and that sort of thing, not by any means new.
No.
But like those Japanese shows coming, because then they made a couple others, right? Well, right.
Yeah, they did. Some of them were basically spinoffs of this.
Yeah. Okay.
And this was effectively a spinoff of the show.
Not a
right?
spinoff. We'll
or
get
like
to that.
A continuation.
Yeah. Oh, the movie of the show?
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, it was like the big episode. It was like the X-Files movie.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
good.
Or
good
the Batman movie.
Yeah, exactly.
66.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is the first of its type we've seen in a while, right? It was like...
From a TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah, since
all the other movies we've seen have been basically independent of...
of TV.
Of
yeah.
TV shows.
Since Batman, yeah.
But what
I'm sorry.
This is like an hour and a half episode of the TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
With
yeah.
the continuity and, well, whatever continuity yeah, there yeah. is. Yeah,
yeah. In the end, it doesn't affect the timeline at all, like a X-Files movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah, it is a self-contained adventure. Yeah. They have a villain just for the movie. He goes away. I have no idea if he comes back later in the show. I didn't look into that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, that little post-credit shows...
Well, I mean,
someone's in charge.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got Rita Repulsa and,
Lord Zedd.
Lord Zedd.
They return. Yeah,
Lord Zedd's dead, baby. Lord Zedd's. So this movie was released June 30th, 1995. A running time of 95 minutes. It cost $15 million to make and took in $66.4 million. So the kids went to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
And. It is time to play the top 10. It is the top 10 movies of the week it was released. Gentlemen, would you like to take a guess on where it opened?
What week was this again?
The week of June 30th, 1995. Brian's like, I'm thinking back.
Jurassic Park?
That was like 2 years earlier.
Oh, that's right.
It might still be on the charts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might actually.
What else? Yeah.
Where did this open?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did this open, guys? Start with you, Josh.
4.
I'm going number 1.
Number 1, Al.
3.
All right.
I mean, 1's not crazy. That was my first choice, but I thought, yeah, it could have been 1.
Here is the top 10 of the week for June 30th, 1995. At number 10, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, so man. Hanging in there.
Number 9, Braveheart.
That's all the dads taking their kids to the movies.
Braveheart?
Yeah. Number 8.
Those two, I guess.
Number 8, we still got Casper.
Huh?
We talked about...
I'm still surprised that wasn't a Halloween movie.
Right, yeah. July. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Number 7, The Bridges of Madison County.
Still on the list. Yeah.
Number 6, we still got Congo. And opening up this week, we have Judge Dredd.
Wow.
At number 5. And at number 4, we've got the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. Josh wins.
This opened above
respect of my peers.
Dredd.
This was more popular than Judge Dredd. I imagine it had a bigger fall off the following week.
Oh, yeah, that's
Judge
true.
Dredd
did.
Yeah. Well, yeah, how many in that demographic knew Judge Dredd?
Yeah. It was close, though. Judge Dredd made $19,077,000. This made $19,500,000.
Wow.
So it was close. At number 3, hanging on, we got Batman Forever. At number 2, we got Pocahontas.
Oh, it rose.
It rose, and actually, the previous week it had been number 1, so it was going up and down there.
Finally,
I imagine all the kids are getting out of school, so they're starting to go see movies. June, end of June. At number 1 opening this week, Apollo 13.
Wow.
America's Dad, bringing it home.
That is a movie.
Yeah, I love that.
I had a feeling at this time frame there would have been something big.
America's Dad, Gary Sinise.
Titanium alloy.
He doesn't seem like a dick, but he doesn't seem. Yeah,
he doesn't seem nice.
Yeah.
But he plays in a band.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You know.
He does a lot of wonderful things. Yeah.
Gary Sinise is amazing.
Speaking of playing in a band, last night me, Jude, and Moon were playing Scattergories.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was it was like K for and it was Famous Singers, and Jude came up with Kevin Costner.
Wow.
Is he in a band?
And we found out, we gave it to him because he is in a band, and he does
Bruce Willis.
I don't know if I'd call it singing, but he says words into a microphone while music
so
plays.
He's not famous for singing, but he is indeed a famous singer.
Yep, exactly.
That counts. I hope he got his point.
Yeah, he did. He got his point.
Get that kid a law degree.
He's a sharp kid.
Yeah.
Just get him one. Go buy one. I'm sure you've got some extra money just laying around.
Yeah, I've got so much.
you podcast empire.
I'm making it hail.
I would like to see Mr. Podcast.
I don't know how school works. Stay in school.
I never did. That's why I wandered away one day.
I did that every day during school.
Yeah, I didn't come back. But yes, I did it every day.
This movie has a long and storied background, which we will discuss now. It began its life
as a
young
prequel.
It was born as a young black child. This is what is called a tokusatsu, which is a live action special effects genre from Japan, primarily science fiction, horror, or fantasy. It can be either film or television, and it historically had a much less rigid divide in Japan than in the U.S., the TV film thing. The genre was kickstarted by 1954's Godzilla. 54?
Yeah, that makes it.
54. Okay. Yeah, 1954's Godzilla. Initially, kaiju or monster films were the most popular of this genre. However, in 1957, Shintoho, which is a studio and a filmmaker in Japan, produced the first film serial featuring the superhero character Super Giant, which signaled a shift in popularity to masked heroes over giant monsters. Super Giant.
So that's from like Ultraman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Super Giant is a human-like being created from the strongest steel by the Peace Council of the Emerald Planet. He was created to destroy evil and restore peace through the universe. He resembles a man in white tights and a cowl with antenna, and he is virtually indestructible. He can fly through space, detect radiation, and speak and understand any language. Then, throughout the late 60s and early 70s, there was a henshin boom, which is a series, which henshin is superhero teams. And this was a the first show that really hit was Kamen Rider in 1971. Kamen Rider features a motorcycle riding hero with an insect motif who fights supervillains who are all often known as Kaijin. Kaijin are the rubber mask people, all the your Ivan Ooze's and so forth.
Right. Yeah. The rubber monster.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this there was created in 1975, a series called Super Sentai. It was created by Shotaro Ishinomura, who also created Kamen Rider. And it, the original series ran from 1975 to 1977, but continued to run every year since. So Super Sentai has, which is what the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is based on, has 45 seasons, 2,166 episodes, 88 movies, and 23 straight-to-video movies.
Wow.
Yes.
And so that's like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
If it was one of you. Yeah.
If they never stopped and made over 100 movies and right. to boot. Yeah. So the original, this is still running. It is still currently running in Japan. And it, now what happened, I'm going to kind of skip around here because I'm going to talk about how this was, well, okay, no, actually, no, I'm going to stick with Super Sentai for a while. So Super Sentai is the basis for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and, in fact, contains much of the footage which is used in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers show. And I'll get to how that works in a little bit. So the first season, I'll go with seasons rather than series. They do it kind of British style where they have a series,
right.
series one, series two. But for our purposes, I'll call them seasons. Uh-huh. The first season, the plot was when world peace is threatened by the emergence of a terrorist group called the Black Cross Army, the Earth Guard League, or Eagle, is formed to combat the threat. The Black Cross Army sends five operatives to destroy each Eagle branch in Japan, killing everyone except for five agents who survived. These surviving agents are summoned to a secret base located underneath a snack shop where they're recruited by Eagle Japan's commander. They become the Himitsu Sentai Go Ranger and are given electronic battle suits that endow them with superhuman strength and speed.
Rangers get the munchies too.
They do.
It's true.
The five dedicate themselves to stopping the Black Cross Army and its leader, the Black Cross Fuhrer.
That's metal. They weren't teenagers.
They were not teenagers.
They were adult, like secret agents.
Exactly.
Yeah, it feels American, like an American choice. Yeah.
Exactly.
Very Karate Kid kind of.
Well, and teenagers. Yeah. We worship the teenager.
Especially in the 90s, yeah. Yes.
Now, to illustrate how far this series has come, the most recent episode, where is it? Here we are, is called Mashin Sentai Kira Major, which roughly translates to Genie Advancement. It involves a princess named Mabushina from the planet Crystallia, the land of jewels, who seeks refuge on Earth with the Kiramai stones to find individuals with strong, shining spirits to become the Kira Majors and fight off the threat of Jotunheim, an imperial army of darkness that conquered her homeworld.
To get the diamonds?
I guess. So there's been a little bit of plot drift.
Well, I mean, I'm sure this is all really important, and I'm sure the Power Rangers are still incredibly integral. It's a big world, big universe. Yes.
It is fascinating.
That's weird.
Yeah, there were a few interesting seasons. There was one called Dobutsu Sentai Zayuger. I am saying all these words terribly, and I apologize to any speakers of Japanese.
Just apologize to everybody. Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Wherein a zoologist uncovers Zayuland, a world inhabited by anthropomorphic animal race known as Zayumans. However,
cool.
It coincides with the arrival of Deathgalians from outer space who have chosen the Earth to be the site of their 100th annual blood game.
It's like choosing a Super Bowl city.
Yeah.
Planets bid.
To be the site of the blood game.
Show me what you got. Yeah.
Tell me how a totally abandoned but hospitable planet would not be better.
Right. Well, what is the blood game? Is it like the blood game in the Olympics? Thing? It's like they just put blood in a petri dish and just like let the blood mingle together. They're like, what happens?
Yeah.
So this was going to be Blood Bowl C.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Blood following the
we're in blood we're in Bloodwiser and Bloodlife.
So what we do in the Shadows episode waiting to be written.
Yeah. who's the quarterback that one year?
Wasn't it Blood Dry?
Oh yeah.
In the 2014-2015, okay, so Super Sentai is all of the teams have something called which was translated into the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers as Zords. They basically get these huge vehicles which they can summon with their magical powers.
I kept waiting for somebody to pull out a sword. Yeah. I was like, where's your sword at? Why do you keep saying sword? That? Why do you keep saying sword like that? Right. Sword. And I was like, oh, they call them Zords. Took me a minute.
Yes, they get these big...
like they're from Australia. Yeah.
Colossal England. Assault vehicles.
Colossal assault vehicles, which they can also then form into a giant robot, a la Voltron. Voltron was inspired by Super Sentai. So Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, in a manner of speaking, actually predated Voltron, even though as a... And when I saw Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, I was like, these assholes are ripping off Voltron.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Robotech. Yeah.
Yeah. Robotech. Yeah. So it's like that. So the 2014-2015 season of Super Sentai, which was entitled Resha Sentai Tokuger.
You're doing great.
Thanks. Only those with great imagination
you're a booster.
Can see the mystical railway known as the Rainbow Line, on which run massive trains known as the Resha. These Resha are driven by five warriors.
Wait, five warriors drive a train?
I'm showing you the intro. You must watch.
Five train conductors.
Yes.
One train. Railway of Love, Season 2.
On invisible train lines?
No.
The train is
regular
invisible.
Train lines.
Magical train lines.
Magical train lines, okay.
Oh, and they're all teenagers.
This is fairly new, right?
2015.
Yo, can you send me this this song?
Absolutely.
Looking for some alone time.
Spending a lot of time alone already. I need positive music in my life, like this song.
There's a lot of pressure. We all got to mix it up now.
Here comes my favorite part.
Oh, were those their transit passes?
Yes. They're about to Get the power of the train.
Do they become a train? Is this...
And then the trains form a giant robot.
That just dances or something? Or do they actually fight people? Because I'd be happy if they just like helped old people cross the road and like took up the trash.
One of them.
Well, that actually leads me into my next example. One of the most interesting episodes of Super Sentai featured a sing-off against the bad guys.
I can't say I don't like that.
I am here for it. Turn that shit up.
It's the Hell's Chorus again. Remy, don't listen to it. I'm translating for our listeners. Life is always like a cocktail party on the road. They are dancing and singing, by the way.
They got moves.
Yeah. With just a dance, even warm memories disappear.
I actually love how much Asian cultures embrace dance and choreograph dance.
The Power Rangers are realizing, bro, the mech is going to malfunction from this song. A song for a song. That's right. Songs are sound waves. We just need to beat Chevalier's sound.
Chevalier?
That's right. I see. Let's go.
Maurice Chevalier.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five man.
It's like, oh shit, we're
They're
all...
singing back. It's a song battle.
We're in the
song
express.
Battle.
Earth is in danger. Protect it with your lives. It's the only planet in the galaxy which rains rainbows.
Oh no, we're in the express train. We only run twice a day.
Linked by the bonds of miracles, there are two giant mecha robots dancing arm in arm.
It's just, yo, DJ, drop a fat beat I could whip my friend's ass to. That's all I can think of.
What year was this again?
This one was from the 80s.
Okay.
This is great.
I like seeing the robot suits.
Yes, yes. So, yeah. Super Sentai is... A very interesting show with a long and storied history. Now, that brings us to Haim Saban.
Yeah, Saban.
Saban started his career in 1966 as the bass player and manager for the rock band The Lions of Judah from Israel. In the early 70s, Saban moved to France where he worked as a music producer. From 1978 to 1982, Saban used the pseudonym Kusa for music and lyrics writing, credits on 4 records for which he also served as a producer using his real name. He's frequently used the name Kusa Machi for his composing credits on Saban Entertainment. We see that on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie theme song.
So it doesn't matter, but is he Japanese?
He's Israeli.
Okay.
He's Israeli.
Gotcha. All right.
He scored for many other production companies. He did score for Inspector Gadget.
The TV show. Oh, that's cool. That's been in my head for all of.
I don't know
life
if he
now.
Did the theme song. He did like score in.
Oh, I see.
Not that one. He did the Mysterious Series Gold, Mask, Dinosaucers, Dragon Quest, He-Man, She-Ra, Jace. And the Wheeled Warriors. In 1998, it was reported that he was being sued because he did not actually compose all the music, totaling 3,700 works for which he is credited. There are 10 composers who are suing him for settlement.
Wow.
Apparently, he simply had a stable of composers and would put his name on what they composed.
Oh, and he was the first one to do that.
So, like a recent,
yeah, the very first ever.
Paul did it to Ringo.
Right before creating Power Rangers, the idea of adapting a Super Sentai series to the American public emerged in the late 1970s, after an agreement between the Toei Company and Marvel Comics to exchange concepts to adapt them for their respective audiences. Toei, together with Marvel, created the live-action Spider-Man series, which was terrible.
It was very bad.
Yes. And produced 3 Super Sentai series, which had a lot of success in Japan. Stan Lee and Marvel tried to sell the Sun Vulcan series to various television stations, which is a from Japan, including HBO. But this did not succeed, and after 3 years, the agreement ended. Stanley had a lot of trouble selling stuff for TV and movies for many, many years until he suddenly didn't. Mm-hmm. Several years later, another idea to adapt Super Sentai began in the 80s when Haim Saban made a business trip to Japan, in which during a stay in his hotel, the only thing he was able to watch was Super Sentai. That was the only thing on.
And so he did.
So he did.
I mean, obviously, cool that he did, but like, didn't bring a book.
He produced a pilot episode of a series called Bioman as an attempt to adapt Chaudenshi Bioman. It was rejected. And then in the early 90s.
Aren't we all Bioman?
Right.
Speak for yourself.
You're not made of atoms.
In titanium the,
organic
alloy.
Material.
In the early 90s, he had the idea to take the fight footage from Super Sentai and cut in scenes of American teenagers playing the parts with the masks off.
That's not crazy or sneaky.
No.
Yeah. No. That's done a lot. Cartoons completely.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he did. He took Super Sentai episodes, rewrote them for American audiences, and filmed interstitial things of the teenagers doing teenage stuff. And then they'd put the masks on, and he'd simply cut in the fight footage from Super Sentai.
Yeah, I mean, because if you shot, say you shot a house or a building exploding, you don't want to do that every single time. You can't afford to.
Yeah.
So we'll show that again.
And actually, the first few episodes that I saw back in 1993, it was noticeable.
Yeah.
Yes.
I bet.
Yeah. No, it looked distinctly different.
Yeah.
Different film stock. Like, it was not the same.
And I know we weren't into it at the time, but I think fans, that was okay with the fans.
Yeah.
You know, they liked that Japanese element.
Yeah. So, Power Rangers program consists of scenes featuring English-speaking actors, spliced with scenes featuring Japanese actors dubbed into English. You can tell, like, Rita Repulsa especially is clearly dubbed.
Yeah.
And in some series, the original fight scenes are filmed to incorporate characters or items unique to the Power Rangers production. So they would occasionally film some extra footage if they needed it for the storyline they were telling in English.
Okay.
It's such a weird arrangement.
Yeah, right. And it's still going. There was a few breaks. Power Rangers are now owned by anybody?
Disney?
Yep.
Wow. Come on, Disney.
Yep.
Remake this movie.
The Mouse Decides.
They did in 2017.
But is it the same movie?
It's not the same movie.
I mean, because they should remake this movie.
Right.
Just this whole movie. They should just remake it again.
When are they going to construct Zordland?
Oh, God.
At Disney.
So that brings us to the movie itself. This was directed by Brian Spicer. In 1997, he directed McHale's Navy. And for Richer or Poorer, those are his only film credits other than this.
We once had a screenwriter who wrote McHale's Navy. So that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. We got the whole team. he did a lot of television stuff. He directed. He's been directing for Castle, 24, Bones, House.
All quality television.
We're such a monosyllabic
Prison Break
culture now.
CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. He directed episodes of The X-Files, Eureka, Fringe, Hawaii 5-0, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
I liked that show.
The screenplay was by Arnie Olsen, who wrote the screenplay for All Dogs Go to Heaven 2, Red Scorpion 2. But his biggest hit was the Tom Selleck vehicle Cop and a Half. So that brings us to the cast. Now the cast, they were paid $600 a week for their work on the show.
Oh, on the show.
Yes.
But still.
Yeah. I imagine they got a little extra for the movie. Karen Ashley played the Yellow Ranger, Aisha, in 1992.
Aisha.
She was a member of the short-lived girl group Crush. They had a song on the Mo Money soundtrack, which was their biggest claim to fame. Since this, she's made appearances on Hanging with Mr. Cooper and Kenan and Kel and the Parkers. Johnny Young Bosch was the Black Ranger, Adam Park. He's done some video game voice work, and that's about it. There was not a lot of success for the Power Rangers post Power Rangers. We got Steve Cardenas as Rocky DeSantos, the Red Ranger. He only has Power Ranger credits. Jason David Frank as Tommy Oliver, the White Ranger. Other than Power Rangers, he's known only for being a UFC fighter.
Yeah. And they only got six a week, but if their managers were shrewd, hopefully they get a good royalty deal because, you know, speaking of how long this shit's been on.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully. Our most successful Ranger post-Rangers is Amy Jo Johnson as Kimberly Hart, the Pink Ranger. She left the series in 1995. She went on to star in the Disney Channel's Susie Q and in Saved by the Bell, The New Class. In 1997, she starred in NBC's adaptation of Lois Duncan's novel Killing Mr. Griffin. She played a gymnast with an eating disorder in Perfect Body. She was in the film Without Limits. And let's see, her longest running gig after this was playing Julie Emmerich on Felicity for four seasons. She was also, let's see, she had roles in Interstate 60, Pursuit of Happiness, and Spin City and ER. She's also a singer-songwriter and has three albums to her credit. Billy Yost played the Blue Ranger. He left the show in 96.
David Yost.
David Yost. As Billy Cranston, sorry. Yes, the Blue Ranger. It was originally believed he left the series due to the low pay. However, in 2010, he revealed it was because he could no longer harassment by members of the production crew who targeted him mercilessly over his sexual orientation.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that sucked. We've got.
Yeah. And that crew on that set was like, he's the gay one. The whole project. Never
mind. The Blue Ranger. You know what that means.
Yeah, exactly. This whole thing is so gay.
Yeah. Jason Narvi as Skull. He only did Power Rangers. Paul Schrier as Bulk. Only did Power Rangers.
Oh, wow.
And then we got Paul Freeman as Ivan Ooze. Best known for playing rival archaeologist Rene Belloc in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He also played evil wine baron Gustav Riedman in season 4 of Falcon Crest.
Evil wine baron.
Yeah, in Falcon Crest. And he played Reverend Shooter in Hot Fuzz in 2007. Dulcea was Gabrielle Fitzpatrick. She had some guest spots in Frasier, Nass Bridges, 24 and Lost. Nicholas Bell played Zordon. He was in Dark City and Mission Impossible 2 and a ton of Australian movies and TV shows. As the voice of Rita Repulsa, we have Barbara Goodson. She voiced the Red Fraggle and Wingnut on Fraggle Rock. She played Mother Talzin on Star Wars The Clone Wars. She did voices for G.I. Joe, Avatar The Last Airbender, Kissy Fur, and Ren and Stimpy. We got a bunch of other voice actors. Kerrigan Mahan as Goldar, Robert Manahan as Zordon, Robert Axelrod as Lord Zedd, Richard Wood as Alpha 5, and Martin G. Metcalf is Mordant. So yeah, that rounds off our cast and crew.
And the cast seemed to do a good job. You know, nobody was William hurting it. No one was like,
yeah,
that guy doesn't want to be here.
No, nobody had more than five syllables.
Right. There's that
in yeah. a row too.
Yeah,
nobody exactly. seemed bummed.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, I think everyone was just happy to have a job.
Well, there's always that.
Yeah.
Unless you're Tommy Lee Jones. It's just a favor to your kid.
Yeah, exactly. This movie has 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was not reviewed by Siskel or Ebert on the TV. However, Roger Ebert did review it for his column, and he wrote, quote, "Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, is about as close as you can get to absolute nothing and still have a product to project on the screen." He gave it 1/2 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, not for you, Raj.
Now, Al, I understand you have a little bit of a backstory so that we can have some context for this film as far as the plot goes.
Just a little bit of character history within the series leading up to this movie. So Kimberly Hart and Billy Cranston, the Pink Ranger and the Blue Ranger.
They just sizzled on screen together.
bro.
They were members of the original U.S. Power Rangers team. Which
for the Olympics in 1984.
They were the dream team.
Which debuted in August 28th, 1993. The episode was called Day of the Dumpster, in which following the accidental release of long-imprisoned evil space sorceress Rita Repulsa, a benevolent sage known as Zordon drafts a group of five teenagers to help protect the planet as dino-powered warriors of goodness.
Hey, five teenagers. I'm incredibly benevolent.
I'm Rita.
Come up to my apartment, and I will give you special powers.
Rita, daughter of Harry and Deborah Repulsa.
Rita. So Tommy Oliver, who we see here as the White Ranger, first appeared in Season 1, Episode 17. That was October 5th, 1993. The episode was Green with Evil, Part 1.
Two-parter.
first appeared as the Evil Green Ranger.
Oh.
I think he had, I'm unclear, he had Ranger powers, but evil leaning, so he Rita Repulsa tried to get him on her side and probably did for a while. And okay, so
he had a change of heart at some point.
Evil leanings. That's our new cop comment.
This was a big deal. I remember that being a big deal. That's something that I remembered. Like, wasn't there a Green Ranger before this? Yeah. I remember the toys changing at some point and kids having the new toys.
So, yeah, he was evil for a little while, stopped being evil at some point, and joined the team. He would remain the Green Ranger until he became the White Ranger in Season 2, Episode 18. Oh. October 18th, 1994, in the episode White Light Part 2.
Woo.
They just ran him through the purifier, you know, like you do with cheap liquor.
Yeah, or poured a bunch of bleach in the washing machine.
Okay, so I'll skip to Lord Zedd first.
Lord Zedd.
He first appeared in Season 2, Episode 1. July 1994, the episode The Mutiny. He came and usurped the power from Rita Repulsa, but kept her on because I don't know.
What was her name or his name again?
Lord Zedd.
Yeah. This is the meat guy with his brain exposed. Looks like Shredder.
Yeah.
And the staff with the Z on it.
Yeah.
On the top.
That's right.
Or the Zedd for
it's a cool look.
Zedd.
Our UK listeners.
He looks like a fighting video game bad guy. You know?
Yeah, he does.
Like somebody from Mortal Kombat or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Lord Zedd sounds like something an asshole husband would make his wife call him.
Lord Zedd's dead, baby. Lord Zedd's dead.
She's all, thank God I'm going to my sister's. Okay, that's not funny.
Okay. Aisha Campbell, Adam Park, and Rocky DeSantos, respectively the Yellow Ranger, Black Ranger, and Red Ranger.
Yeah, can we call him by their colors?
he's red folk.
I'm so pepperoni.
His last name, what was his last name?
Which one?
DeSantos.
Oh, yeah. DeSantos.
Rocky DeSantos?
Yeah.
Isn't it the governor of Florida? It's Ron DeSantis.
The featherweight boxer.
What if the governor of Florida was also the Red Ranger?
Has anybody seen him in the same room at the same
time?
Not in
real life.
Yeah. He's failing his job.
It's like Batman.
Yeah.
These three first appeared in Season 2, Episode 22, November 2nd, 1994. Lord Zedd tries to recruit winners of a ninja tournament.
Not like a karate or taekwondo.
Right.
A ninja tournament.
It's just an empty dojo.
I always assumed
that
like a ninja was employed, but I guess they're competitive ninjas also.
You mean rivals?
You know, that's like a competitive bodyguard or like a competitive assassin.
Right. Okay. The ninja tournament.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Their first appearance was in the Ninja Encounter Part 1. And that was a 5-parter.
Whoa.
The ninja encounter. All 3 of them were actually uncredited for those first 5 episodes. They would become Rangers in season 2, episode 28. So not very far afterwards. In the Power Transfer Part 2. Alpha 5, Zordon, Rita Repulsa, and Goldar were all characters since Season 1, Episode 1.
Okay.
Bulk and Skull were also characters since the beginning. So they've been around as the foils.
That's cool.
Mordant was, I believe, the last one I had. This movie is his first appearance, but the character was so popular. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they mention it in this that he's actually a cousin to Goldar. So, yeah.
Who's a cousin?
Mordant. The pig.
Yeah.
Is a cousin to Goldar, the winged ape.
No, I was following. Thing.
The winged ape.
Yeah, the winged ape.
My favorite pub.
Yeah, and Ivanhoe's.
This was just for the movie.
Just for the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if he came back, but
I don't think he did.
Yeah. I don't think they could hire him for the show, the actor. So this came out between seasons 2 and 3, right, Al?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So between 2 and 3?
Between seasons 2 and 3, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Early.
Because, 94, 95 was season 2, and this was 9, yeah.
Okay, so so here we that brings us up to date. I guess it is about time. Are you Dinkle Dorks ready?
Yeah,
it's Morphin time.
Yep.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
So do I have to say the animal name? Am I like
I can't remember,
like Duck Ranger? And then I turn into a duck?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, let's choose our ranger.
Yeah.
Which one would you be?
Ranger, I guess.
No, out of the ones that exist. So there's Falcon, Bear, Frog. Oh,
definitely the Falcon Ranger.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was good. Al, what are you?
I'm a frog.
Yeah. What are you?
A lonely frog.
I guess I'll be the Bear Ranger because I can't remember any
others. Be the Gorilla Ranger.
Oh, that's right. The gorilla.
The Ape Ranger.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Ape Ranger.
And you are an ape.
Yeah. Mighty Ape.
I want to be an Ape Ranger.
Mighty Ape.
Of course, they start off as having dino powers.
Yes.
Dino powers in the beginning.
And my favorite's a Triceratops. And always has been. Fucking always will be.
All right.
Mark my words. Mark my words. Mark them down.
I have. All right. Here we go, everybody. It is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. Centuries ago, a legend. This is a Skrull.
There is a Skrull.
Yeah. So it's like Star Wars, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Johnny Explainer.
This is.
For any kids that didn't see the show, centuries ago, a legendary interdimensional being known as Zordon came to the city of Angel Grove to establish a command center in his never-ending struggle against evil. With the help of his trusted assistant, Alpha 5, the noble master sought out 6 extraordinary teenagers and gave them the power to transform into a superhuman fighting force.
Scientology. Sorry, what?
Time of great need, the young heroes could use their powers to call upon colossal assault vehicles known as Zords.
It was in all caps. You were supposed to shout it.
Colossal assault vehicle.
Just Zords.
Known as Zords.
Zords.
That's an exclamation now. Zords.
The identity of the 6 remains a secret. Today, that tradition continues. Much like Olive Garden.
God damn. It was coming out of my mouth. That's what she said, but it was.
So after the Skrull, we open up on our team of superheroes.
But the Skrull doesn't explain, and there's no origin story to explain why teenagers.
Because they got attitude.
Yeah, they're totally rude.
They have moxie.
They've got that rude 90s tude.
Is it stamina?
What?
Yeah, I guess it'd be weird.
They're not going to show you a grown woman's midriff. You know?
Yeah. All right, okay. I see.
Yeah, you don't want to see you don't want to see a midriff of a woman who's 30. I mean, come on.
Yes, sit down, Gilf.
Meanwhile, the Red Ranger is like 45.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's like, hey, it's my first day, guys. I got the job.
Yeah. Like, all these kids.
They're like, affirmative action.
Actually, do we know the age difference between him and everybody else?
I keep
talking about the story. I'll get back to you.
And they're high school students?
They are supposed to be high school students.
Yeah,
they
reference high school. Yeah.
Okay, so after the scroll, we open up on our team of superheroes, along with Bulk and Skull, the comic sidekick, skydiving for a very long time. They skydive and skydive and skydive. They land, and it turns out to be a charity event.
So how secret are their identities if they wear essentially ranger outfits to skydive?
Yeah,
super secret.
And they wear their representative colors all the time.
They were all wearing glasses, right?
Right. But at the end, Fred, who was very astute, still mentions he doesn't know who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, their identity is safe.
He's having dinner with all of them, the perfect amount of Rangers.
Who hang out and all wear the colors of the Rangers at all time and are also good at martial arts and athletic.
It's like a Superman situation. Yeah. Clark Kent, at least he wears glasses.
At least Clark pretends to be bumbling. They don't pretend at all.
That's true.
And they talk about like, I bet the Power Rangers would be real proud of you, Billy, or whatever.
Take it from us.
I'd also like to point out that back on the plane, they let Bulk and Skull open the airplane door and encourage them to lead the way.
Yes.
Before pointing out that they're not wearing their parachutes.
Right.
They let them stare out into the abyss.
Whoops. Oh.
Whoops. For a little too long, for safety's sakes.
Yeah. Ooh, boy.
Okay, so the Blue Ranger is only like 5 years older than everybody else.
Okay.
That's crazy.
That's not bad.
He just looks so old. It's driving me nuts.
He's like, I can't help. It's tax season. So
it turns out.
Part-time tax attorney.
He's just that old. He's 25.
Turns out this is a charity skydive-a-thon to save the observatory.
From what?
I don't know. Rita Repulsa?
Are they going to close it? Like,
and I know parasailing you can sort of control, but from an airplane, can you control where you land?
Yeah, you really can if you know
you
what
can.
You're doing.
Right, yeah. On.
With an accurately timed drop.
I usually just use a bed sheet and my roof.
Right.
So I don't know.
If you break a leg that way.
So the team all lands on target, but Bulk and Skull haven't jumped yet.
Got a quick plot point that the announcer says that the arrival of Ryan's comet is 2 days away.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Good old Ryan and his comet.
So this is the first time this comet is mentioned.
Yes.
Is it mentioned again?
Not until the planet.
No. It's on the background of a TV at one point.
Okay. Because I was like, damn, they said that at the very beginning. Did they say anything about that ever? I remember when they're like, oh, well, you know, spoiler alert, throw them at the comet. Yeah.
Well, they were all like, war continues in Corto Maltese.
So they land on target. Bulk and Skull haven't jumped yet. They finally do while the Power Rangers rollerblade.
Did they land in the rollerblades? Like, were they parachuting?
No, so they finished this charity event and just like took off.
Yeah,
on the rollerblades.
Yeah, because
they're extreme to the max.
Yeah, they got to like press flesh. You know, people came to watch them jump.
Yeah, and they're like, no autographs.
They explicitly
state. We aren't the Power Rangers.
Yeah, we're definitely not the Power Rangers.
They ask amongst themselves what happened to Bulk and Skull, who are still up on the plane, finally throw on their parachutes like backpacks.
Yeah.
And jump out. They should be dead. They didn't really clip secure those things at all. They just slapped their helmets on, no straps. But the team is like, whatever, let's go rollerblading.
Exactly. Bulk and Skull end up landing in a construction site. The foreman's called over to a spot where the crew has just dug up a big ornate seal. They ignore all reasonable safety precautions and open it. And a big stone hand clutching a giant purple egg comes out.
Fucking Kali Ma, man. What is that?
The foreman tries to touch it and gets zapped by purple lightning. Meanwhile, our rollerblading heroes get a call on their Apple Watches from Alpha, a robot, and they beam into the command center where Zordon, a giant floating head, tells them they have to save Earth from an evil and powerful morphological being that was
morphological
that was imprisoned 6,000 years ago, but was just unburied by the construction crew. Morphological.
Your plan isn't even morphological possible. Morphologically possible.
Morphologically possible.
It sounds like a science term.
That night, at the
it was also pointed out that 6,000 years ago, before he was trapped in the egg, he had almost completed his Ectomorphicon Titans.
He just had to do the essay part.
Ectomorphicon,
which turns out are buried right next to him.
Yeah. So that night at the poorly guarded archaeological marvel, a group of bad guys that Wikipedia tells me is Lord Zedd, Rita Repulsa, Goldar, and Mordant arrive.
Rita.
Knock out the guards and open the egg, freeing Ivan Ooze.
Rita Repulsa's a little hot.
Yeah, as an adult, I was getting real mad Fran Drescher vibes from her. Like, wow.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I mean, the giant pointy bra was kind of weird, but
it's like a Madonna thing. She's going on.
It was very 90s.
She's got a pretty face.
It's a weapon.
She's got a pretty face.
If only she'd smile somewhere.
I know that George C. Scott is not playing Ivan Ooze, but I just kept seeing Patton.
Yeah, he's got that vibe going for sure.
And what's his face from Strangelove?
Ah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's George C. Scott.
Yeah, yeah, I forget the name of the character.
Oh, right.
Not Churdly. God.
I don't know. I did see Strangelove.
There's no fighting.
Oh, Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Strangelove.
Sideshow Bob.
I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking of Big Love, and I was like, George C. Scott was on Big Love.
So is Ivan Ooze, is Ivan Ooze from Russia? Is he Russian?
His name is Ivan.
He was from 6,000 years ago before Russia existed.
Yeah, Ooze.
But yeah, but the name but, Ivan maybe was but, still popular.
What, and well, what kind?
He made it popular.
Russians are like, we love this Ooze guy.
What a trendsetter. I hear tell every 12 months.
Well, you know, no, it's, you know, like how like 4 or 5 years ago, there were a bunch of kids that were named Khaleesi.
Oh, yeah. Regrets. Not even a letter.
Ivan happily agrees to kill Zordon as repayment to them for releasing him. They all just leave, except Ivan, which is good for the Power Rangers who arrive just then at the construction site.
And he smells them coming.
Yes, he does.
Teenagers.
He smells
what is that odious stench? Smells like
teenager. They find the open egg and are approached by a security guard who immediately reveals himself to be Ivan, who's in disguise.
He's a master of.
He is. He expresses disdain towards their teendom, creates a bunch of purple oozy minions, and zaps himself away, leaving the Rangers to fight the purple guys. They trade some kicks and blows, but can't take them out. So they do the thing the 10-year-olds made their parents go to the theater for and declare it morphin' time. They put their suits on, but immediately lose to the purple guy. Or they immediately lose the purple guys. The purple guys run off. They head off towards a purple area.
While they're morphin'.
While they are morphin'. They're morphing.
It's like Black Panther with the
they're
helmet.
Morphing.
Like, why do you want to take the helmet off still?
Right. Yeah.
Can we make this part faster?
Yeah. The morphin process is long.
Yeah.
It is long. I would not wait around for them to morph if I were a bad guy.
We should leave.
Right.
Why are they shouting about being birds?
Yeah. They shout what they're doing.
Why are they shouting?
It's morphin' time.
So the Rangers head off towards a purple area as the most likely place to find them. Meanwhile, back at the command center, Zordon tells Alpha that his sources tell him Ivan Ooze is on his way there.
What a Trump thing to say. I've heard people talk.
Yeah.
Ooze arrives and reminisces with Zordon and then busts the place up.
He like oozes like through the door, which was kind of cool. That was neat. Like the Saturday morning cartoon goopiness.
Yeah.
And Zordon has his little Dobby the Hell's house elf.
Alpha 5?
Alpha 5, yeah.
Did it remind
you? Aye, aye, aye.
Did it remind them of Tweaky from Buck Rogers?
And the oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
The way he spoke. And, yeah.
Oh, he also, in Alpha's, his first appearance on screen, he said something about the energy modulators.
Oh, yeah, in that tone. I caught that, too.
Modulators.
That's some Marvin the Martian right there.
Yeah.
Modulator.
So meanwhile, the Rangers are looking for the purple ooze guys in the partly constructed building. There's one more. I can't remember what they say, but they say something about like better, like with the, what do they say, Al?
Activating power beam.
That's a flashlight.
Yeah. So and only one headlights. Of them has one.
Headlights, literally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It. Yeah.
It's, everyone look where I'm looking.
So it was the Yellow Ranger. Who activated the power beams and she
power
has,
beams. It's a flashlight.
Yeah,
it's,
and the Red Ranger has like an infrared sensor.
The bear eyes. Was it the, wait, was she?
No, they were dinosaurs at this point.
Okay. She was the saber-toothed tiger.
Okay.
The tiger eyes, were the power beams.
What the fuck is happening with headlights. This movie already?
Wow.
So they eventually find them after an extended flashlight sequence and engage in a very, very long fight sequence in which they finally defeat and splat the bad guys.
God, that's so satisfying when they kick them through like metal grates and they're just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
There were a couple of moves that I thought were cool. Blue Ranger had the Stega Stinger.
The Stega Stinger. Yep.
And Pink Ranger had...
Yeah, those were...
Pterodactyl Thunder Whip.
Ooh, yeah. Pterodactyl Thunder Whip. Yeah, her whip moves were interesting. There was some real whipping that happened, and I went, what is this? This is... they gave this girl a whip.
And she could...
Oh, lordy.
Oh, dear God.
And she got the line, have a nice trip. See you next fall.
Yeah.
Boom. Woo, roasted.
There was a lot of really cool wire work. Yeah. Some of the White Ranger stuff where he is spinning and jumping. The Blue Ranger did similar things.
Yeah. And I believe all of the martial arts were filmed for the movie. None of this was taken from the TV show. This is a completely, the first and only, as far as I'm aware, completely original U.S. production.
It looks like they had an incredibly expensive and elaborate wirework rig for all this stuff, too, because they were covering huge areas, which is really neat to see. So, you know, I give them a lot of credit. I think this is the best wirework besides Superman flying kind of thing that we've seen. And maybe it's better than Batman in the last movie we watched.
Oh, God. It comes so much better.
Falling kind of ish, flying ish. Right. But yeah, that's something that I will definitely credit them on is they did a great job with all the wire work.
All the fight scenes looked really good for what they were. Yeah, absolutely.
And well, I didn't look into how many stunt people they had in these scenes, but like the scenes looked really good. If those were stunt people, they looked like dead ringers.
Well, almost most of these, so most of the Rangers themselves basically came from stunt backgrounds.
Nice.
Yeah,
so like the male Rangers especially.
Right.
Were they were all, so I have a feeling they did a lot of their own fighting, which was probably a cost saving measure by Saban to cast people that can do their own stunts.
Yeah.
They don't really have interesting dialogue anyway.
Yeah.
did anyone notice that when they teleport, they do sort of a Three Amigos salute?
Oh, yeah.
They grab their belt buckles, right?
Yeah. Oh, the Amigos do.
Right.
Yes.
And they like rainbow off.
It's that.
So just as they finish defeating the bad guys, their suits lose power and disappear off of them.
Back when Ivan Ooze was destroying the command center, he had a cool line, a set of lines. He says, "Oh, the things I've missed: the Black Plague, the Spanish Inquisition, the Brady Bunch reunion." And it was reported that Paul Freeman ad-libbed that last line.
Oh, nice.
That's funny.
Nice. So they rush back to the command center to find that Zordon is no longer a big floating head, but is now a bald Emperor Palpatine in a sack.
Yep. And he's in the cradle.
Superman.
Kal-El was sent to. Yeah. Those are straight up kryptonite crystals.
Yeah.
And because his time warp is broken. So, that's a line. They say his time warp is broken.
Yeah, so he like lives outside of time and does not age so that he can continue to battle evil.
Well, maybe we should all do the time warp again.
Part of Ivan's plan was to erase, not just destroy Zordon, but erase him from history.
Okay.
By destroying the time. Wow. By destroying the time warp.
You got a lot more of the nuance of the plot than I did, Al.
Yeah, I didn't realize that any of that was happening.
And I was writing it down.
Yeah. Thanks, Al.
I was doing none of that. There's one of all of us.
So he tells them the power's all gone. The Power Rangers are no more, and Ivan Ooze is one. He passes out, and Alpha tells them that the only way to save Zordon, who is about to die, is to use a thingy to go to a planet and do a thing to get more power.
He's like,
side quest! Yeah.
Do you have a sock you could give me to set me free?
He says there is a power on a distant planet. Thedos.
I love how vague that is. There is a power.
A power.
Some people believe.
They didn't even bother making up some techno babble for it. They just said a power.
I think
some a people power. Believe that
we have run out of power.
And now there is more power.
I think they should have killed Zordon. That's my hot take on this. They should have killed Zordon in this moment and brought him back to life at the end.
Oh, there you go.
Or something. I don't know.
Script Dr. Brian on the job.
Because this was like really weird. I was like, Palpatine. They left and I went, wait, is he still alive? I had to rewind and go back and be like,
on his
so he didn't die. They just left though. They're like, don't worry.
Just laying there.
We're going to get the power.
Just laying there.
You just don't die.
Just lay here.
It's like, I don't know. I got about 45 more minutes.
Yeah.
In your sack.
You don't die. You better not die.
Later on, they do refer to the power that they find as the Great Power.
Okay.
Well, we're narrowing this thing down a little bit. Yeah.
Except no substitutes.
So they use the thingy and beam out to another planet. Meanwhile, Ivan Ooze finds the group of bad guys at their lair. He puts Rita Repulsa and Lord Zedd in a snow globe, and the other guys agree to follow him now instead of them.
That was amazing. The snow globe thing is
such a great, easy
way to get players off the table.
Yeah, totally. Ivan creates a bunch of purple ooze bird guys and sends them off to kill the Power Rangers.
By hawking a loogie.
Yes. Yeah.
This is one of my favorites.
He creates the Tengu bird warriors.
When they like
the Tengu
came to be was so funny. I was laughing my ass off as they flew away.
Those guys are hilarious. Yeah.
They looked worse than the flying monkeys in the 1930s Wizard of Oz.
They did.
They were equally creepy, but not nearly as effective as like scaring the shit out of me like the flying monkeys did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and they're actually from Japanese folklore, so it was kind of cool to see them. But then they looked and talked.
Yeah, they were real. Ooh, yeah.
So they were. In space, the Rangers arrive on a planet, find an alien skeleton, and set off to look for whatever it is they're there to look for.
A wayfinder.
The great power.
The great power.
Back I found some power.
But it's not the great power. Sorry, guys.
It's just a 9-volt battery.
Let us know when you find another.
Oh, buying generic. What an asshole.
Back on Earth, Ivan comes up with a plan to take over the world by, quote, turning the parents of the town. He's going to take over the world by turning the parents of the town of Angel Grove into zombies and tricking them into digging up his ectomorphicon.
Right. We see what he ends up doing with them, and it's not much.
No.
Mordant questions his ability to like go into town, and Ivan says, "You forget, I'm a master of disguise." And Mordant says, "How could I forget? I never knew.
I never knew."
That's a good line.
I can see why they brought him back for Mordant. I can see why they brought him back. He's a saucy pig monster.
He was.
Enough with the bedroom talk, Al. Like,
oh, somebody got jokes.
He called him a royal heinous highness.
Royal heinous.
Yes, your royal heinous highness.
They had a lot of fun writing this script. Yeah. You can tell.
There are a lot of quips.
Yeah.
Of course, they're not as funny to us, but yeah.
But to a kid?
I bet it was a laugh-a-thon for a kid.
Yeah. For sure. He does a thing with lightning to make some purple juice, which
purple drink, right? Or Sunny D.
which is apparently bad juice.
Yeah. It looked looked real good. All I wanted to do was just consume some.
It's real popular in the clubs these days.
Yeah. Adults love it.
It's like club drug.
Meanwhile, on the planet where they are, the Power Rangers are attacked by the bird guys.
Oh, and Tommy and Kimberly are apparently a thing.
Yeah, I guess. I guess
the first. I mean,
is Tommy the White Ranger?
Yeah,
it's
I'll get it by the end.
It's real grade school level stuff. Like I like you.
Yeah.
He starts chasing her around for that weird sequence when they find the jungle gym.
Yeah.
He like hits her. Yeah. She embarrasses
him. On her hair.
In front of her friends.
What are we talking about,
you guys?
they battle with the bird people, which we know as the Eagles.
Oh yeah, the Eagles. All five guitar players in the band.
They're standing on a corner.
These are the Eagles of death metal.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. However, without their powers, they're getting their asses thoroughly kicked when a robed figure arrives, throws off the robes, and reveals herself to be a bikinied girl who can fight good. She's got some Xena energy going on.
She is so fit. This is not look that we necessarily saw a lot of like stars have in the 90s, I feel like.
No.
Like in movies. I was like, oh, wow. She's like incredibly fit. Yeah.
She's no girl. She's a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was a cool casting choice. I mean, because this is a children's movie and physique is what we get of women characters. But it was cool. I was like, wow, man, she is like dangerous looking woman. That's awesome.
Yeah, she is. She does a sound stick spinny thing and the birds fly away where she, like her staff makes the noise and they go.
Yeah, that's a subtitle. Yeah. Staff whistles.
They whistle.
So they try to thank her, but she's all aggro and tells them to go away because they'll never get the power they seek and will die trying.
And you're going to fuck up my house. That's essentially what she said. Yeah.
They name check Zordon and Ivan Ooze, and she changes her mind.
Well, she opens the velvet rope.
After Tommy says, we're different.
Yeah, right.
That's his opening line to convince her.
Right.
Help us.
And somebody takes her aside and says, Tommy's on the spectrum. He's a little.
He doesn't understand social interaction.
Yeah, it's hard for him.
So she introduces herself as Dulcea and agrees to help them. Meanwhile, Zordon wants to watch TV while he's dying, and Ivan sells some drugs to a bunch of kids.
That was a Nicholson Joker thing. Like, so much going on, but you just happen to watch TV.
Right.
And this was their first sample. He was giving it away for free.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. First taste is free.
And all that rhyming.
There was so much rhyming.
Oh, right, the rhyming.
His little sales pitch.
Yeah, I was expecting him to break into a full-on rap, honestly.
His like wizard get-up reminded me of like Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just looked like Rob Zombie to me.
I could see that.
I wonder how much Rob Zombie was inspired by Ivan Ooze.
He was like, my influences include Iggy Pop, Black Sabbath, and Ivan Ooze.
Yeah, I get my makeup from Ivan Ooze. Purple little jars.
Back on planet MacGuffin Quest, She-Ra and the Rangers arrive at a special magic temple place where she shows them the tower they have to get to that's on the other side of a jungle and tells them they can do a magic thing to make them have superpowers again. Back on Earth.
We got there so quick.
They did.
She's just like, oh, you don't even have to pass a special like test.
No.
I'm convinced.
We're just going to do the magic thing and you'll have powers.
Good enough for me.
They have to call upon the sacred animals of the Ninjetti for help.
The Ninjetti.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. What were saying? A couple of those animals are not very stealth.
Thanks, Red Sonja.
Right. Back on Earth, the parents of Angel Grove all just eat random purple ooze they find in jars and turn into zombies.
Yep.
They are no longer domesticated human beings. No.
Yeah.
Did they eat it?
Yeah. I don't know. Did they just rub it on their bodies?
Yeah, because
what
the kids
do they do
rubbed
with the
it.
Ooze?
You see a couple of people walking with it just dripping from their fingers. But to me, I assume that means that they were eating it with their hands, like honey, like Winnie the Pooh.
They get your hands stuck in the jar.
That's all I could see with the like goopy
walking around
zombie
with nothing but a polo shirt on.
Like, why do I want to take my pants off and eat this purple goop? I've been asking myself the past week.
I thought they just like came home, found these purple jars and opened them up, and the ooze just oozed out.
I thought they came to his boutique store.
That makes sense, but the kids touch it, and it doesn't seem to have
their... Right, yeah, they're unaffected by it because they're kids.
They're not reverse vampires.
It's the coronavirus of purple ooze.
Oh, jeez.
So you got the three, I don't know, age groups, the kids, the teens, and the parents.
Yeah.
You got the beeps, the bleeps, and the creeps.
The greasers and the socias.
Yeah. Right.
So back on a planet that they're on, Condescending.
Phaedos.
Yeah, planet Condescending. The lady uses magic pixie dusk to give the Rangers their color-coded ninja suits. And apparently they all have animal spirit powers now, too. Adam has to be a frog. So what are the animals they all get to be?
Okay, so Aisha is the bear. Okay. Yellow for Brian.
Yep.
Rocky is the ape.
Okay.
Billy's the wolf.
All right.
Kimberly's the crane.
Good.
And Tommy's the falcon.
Fine.
And Adam's the frog.
Adam's the frog.
The frog.
And Dulcea says...
Nature's the deadliest...
Dulcea says, the kind of frog you kiss and becomes a handsome prince.
I will say something. The choice of animals was really interesting. Clearly Japanese influence with things like cranes and, you know, bears.
Well, literally, because the following season they were going to adapt a new series of Super
and
Sentai.
Use the other...
And they had to use the new footage where they were animals.
Holy crap. So the movie introduces them, and that's how they market the new season.
And that's how they change what they are for
it
the following
Batman
year.
Batman 66 all over again. Yeah.
It's like a Doctor Who Christmas special.
Yeah, exactly. They introduce the new Doctor.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So on Earth, the kid from the beginning who was embarrassed of his skydiving dad, like, Dad, you skydive so lame. Mm-hmm.
His name's Fred, by the way.
Fred. Arrives home.
Yep, Fred.
He was literally a red shirt.
Yeah.
Arrives, his dad was, right?
Yeah. Arrives home to find his parents gone. Where was that kid at? He was just like...
Well, his name is Fred, so he was working that quarry.
Yeah.
And Ivan is bored, waiting for the parents to finish digging up his things, so he makes a chubby guy dance. The bird guys return, and Ivan is pissed that they didn't kill the Power Rangers. When they tell him about Dulcea, he disintegrates them. The next morning, the Power Rangers set off through the jungle. Then back on Earth, the kid finds his dad digging, but he can't get his attention, and Ivan is excited that they're digging up his giant robots.
Which he names at this point Hornitor and Scorpatron.
Hornitor
and Scorpatron.
Hornitor. Yes.
That's what they call me in the clubs in Berlin.
Berlin.
Hornitor by day, Scorpatron by night.
Das ist eine Hornitor.
In the back.
I need to brush up on my German.
And no.
Blows over.
That's not going to be the language that lasts.
Yeah, for real.
Meanwhile, in the jungle, the Rangers have to fight a Triceratops skeleton. They win.
It resembles a Triceratops.
Yes, but it is not, Al.
Officer, well, are you giving a description from an accident?
It had the giant carnivorous teeth.
Ah, okay.
So it is a fictional dinosaur.
Oh, it's on another planet.
Well, that's true. Yeah. We get the welcome to Jurassic Park line.
Yes.
And the very Spielberg swell of music as they're standing in the jungle.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, it's great.
They defeat it. I don't know if you'd written it down. They defeat it. Tommy jumps on the back and he pulls a bone out of its neck.
Yeah.
Linchpin, apparently. Uh-huh.
But he clearly has an idea of what he's doing because he sees it, grabs it, and says, I have a bone to pick with you.
And then, and then pulls it out.
Bada boom.
He pulls it out and the head falls off and his response is, huh?
He's like, but I'm a bone doctor.
Oh, wait, I didn't know that was going to happen.
That was lucky for me.
Oh, no, it killed it.
Thing belongs in a museum.
Who are we?
Who are so wise in the ways of science? In the ooze factory, Ivan tells the parent zombies that they're all done and orders them to go leap to their death.
Yeah, so twice he wants them to kill themselves, but he did make sure everyone had a hard hat. before the project. And he straight up kills him because he's bored. It's like, I thought this was a part of your plan.
And it takes them a really long time to get from the factory to the construction site. Like a really long time. So they blindly trudge off to obey. Fred goes off to help save his dad. Ivan uses the ooze and sparkle fingers to turn his giant insect robots on.
Sparkle fingers.
The Rangers finally arrive at the monolith and have to fight some stone guard guys that come to life. This is a long protracted fight sequence.
So these robots were buried under the sand. Does that count as tools?
Oh,
buried underground.
Oh, I think
yeah,
so.
I think so.
Some I'll take it.
Harmless phosphorescence there.
Yeah. So they defeat the stone guard guys and the doors of the temple open up. A big pyramid rolls out and it apparently contains the power because golden animals that match their spirit animal fly out and go into them and they have new power suits. They declare that they've accomplished their goal and beam back to Earth. The owl lady watches on.
So that was that an Athena thing?
Oh.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, she was a warrior.
Wisdom, yeah. Right? With the owl. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
There was not a lot of thought put into her character, Seth.
No. I think it
she
might
looked
have,
great, though.
I think it might have been like, hey, we've got a guy with an owl.
Right. Well, we didn't use the owl for one of the suits.
I love it. In our world, that's how movies are made. Like, yeah. Do you know someone who has an owl? Bring your guns and whatever costume you want.
Now, why do you keep calling me about owls? I have chickens. I'm the chicken guy.
It's all community theater stuff.
In Angel Grove, which appears to be a very large city, the giant insect robots are wreaking havoc as Ivan looks on.
Looks on.
Yeah, he's just standing up on top of the tower
just
watching.
But I just love that. Looks on.
Is Angel Grove Los Angeles?
I don't know.
I wonder if it was the name of the city in Japan as well. Because obviously they wanted a fake one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They didn't want to destroy
I thought
a real
too,
city.
Right. I mean. The insurance premiums.
Angel
Grove. That's why everybody films in Atlanta, I guess.
No, they should be filming in Detroit.
Oh, God.
Oh, geez.
Nobody there. The sets are already built.
In Angel Grove, which appears to be a very large city, the to have it. The Rangers arrive and see the robots and call on their Zords. They prepare to battle.
I see your Zord is bigger than mine.
Ivan smells them coming.
Again. These kids need to shower.
He's like the Rock.
Right. Are you kidding me? He can hear pudding.
And he says, inconceivable.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was another one of my, so many 80 lines.
So meanwhile, the kids of the town are having like a Mutant Ninja Turtle style party, like with,
yeah,
but, Bummer McKilljoy arrives and tells them Ivan's evil and their parents are going to die.
What?
No way, dude. The Rangers battle the giant robots in their Zords for a while, and the kids head out to save their parents, and they all get on the monorail.
There's monorail. Trouble with the monorail.
Monorail. Monorail.
I shouldn't have stopped for that haircut.
The Rangers destroy one of the robots, and Ivan gets possibly one of the best line in the series, honestly.
Which is?
I should have stopped for that haircut.
Oh, yeah.
The Rangers destroy one of the robots, and Ivan gets angry and pours his essence into the other robot, becoming a giant mecha version of himself.
His essence. So disgusting.
There's a plastic surgery joke that's made.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody call a plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
That was the joke. Okay.
I remember being like, what?
The Rangers.
Just before this, the crane Zord is flying towards the tower. And Ivan says, here comes that cute little pink ranger to the rescue.
Yeah.
And Goldar is like, oh, you think she's cute too, huh? And he gets like a icy stare from Ivan.
Horning it up.
Like, oh, Goldar, the Rangers.
You dog, you.
The Rangers decide it's time for, quote, Ninja Megazord and join up to become a single giant robot. Except the White Ranger, who saves the kids because the monorail track is broken.
Yeah. So, yeah, he pulls a Superman and uses the Falcon Zord to
push it back.
To
become the track.
To become the track,
mind you, this is
like Superman.
In a turn. And that would not work because it's in a turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's the bullshit button?
Right. All right.
I'm calling it.
Suspension of disbelief ruined.
No longer realistic. Yeah. That's not how trains work.
Using ooze as a noun.
Wait. Fine. There was an emergency button inside the ship. Was this before the White Ranger came to them or after? Because the emergency
after.
Button. Okay.
After.
Okay.
Is one of the funniest gags.
It's great. It's
so stupid.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Ivan's beating the Rangers when the White Ranger joins the giant robot party and they decide to lure Ivan into space.
Yeah. He steals or he breaks their sword, I guess.
Yeah.
Not their sword.
Their power sword.
Their power sword.
Inexplicably.
Yeah.
Because he's fighting with the tower that he was just standing on.
Yeah. Yeah. That like Dangar or whatever like that guy's name.
Using that as a mace. Goldar. Yeah, he took off.
Dangar.
Why do they call them their ninja zords?
Well, aren't they like more like boxing zords?
Yeah,
like,
they say ninja over and over. Yeah, well, but they're giant.
They're loud. Yeah.
I think these guys don't know what ninja means.
They're powered by the ninjetti power.
Oh, so it's a different world. In
right.
Word in their world.
So prior to this, they had their dino zords.
All right.
What are we doing?
They started with dinosaurs.
They're dino zords. When the Triceratops and blah, blah, blah.
And these are the
ninja zords.
Listening to
these animals are?
Yes.
Listening out, apply.
They're like fighting styles.
Apply the same level of research and seriousness to this conversation as he does to like math. It's awesome.
Okay. Fighting styles is more kung fu.
Well, they're spirit animals.
Yeah.
Of
yeah, it's
ninjas.
More of a kung fu thing.
Frogs are not very good ninjas.
That's interesting. Like crane style is a kung fu fighting
that
style.
That is, yeah.
And like black tiger and things
They
like
went
that,
with yeah. ninjas and they're sticking to it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the short reason is because
it's Japanese
and kids will instantly be like, ninja.
And
ninja turtles.
Right.
And,
yes.
Yeah. You know,
it's a cue for them.
Yeah. It's a shorthand for the under 10 crowd.
Which is funny, the giant robot is called that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The Ninja Megazord.
When they combine. He's sneaking around.
I know, exactly. But he's so
throwing
huge.
Dust bombs.
So huge.
He's like, Ninja Megazord, out!
Hiding from his wife behind the scenes. Like, but I can see you.
And he doesn't have a blow dart.
Hiding under a bridge.
A blow gun.
He wasn't born with a blow dart.
So the kids, along with the comic sidekicks from the beginning, arrive just as the parents get to the construction site, and Fred has a plan. Meanwhile, in space, the Rangers decide to lure Ivan into the path of Ryan's comet.
Okay. That was a good plan.
So this movie has reached Superman 3 plot. Like,
oh yeah,
this is how we are ending it, is in space.
Yes,
right.
Or fucking space fight.
Yeah. Oh, Superman 4.
Yeah. Quest for Peace in the space fight.
Yeah. No, it's a space fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
In the series, oftentimes they would do a lot of their battles on the moon.
Oh, that's awesome.
We saw that's where Rita and Zed had their base.
Yeah.
And that's where Rita Repulsa first appeared, was on the moon.
So,
and the way you look tonight.
We all remember when Apollo 11 landed and found Rita Repulsa.
The way that the moonlight bounced off the hair of Rita Repulsa.
So, at the construction site, Fred turns the hose on his parents. You get out of here. Get off her.
They did not put the lotion on the body.
He uses the hose to push the kids who are getting pushed back.
Good job. Yeah.
He uses it to like support them.
Yeah.
Human shields.
Well, and that starts waking the parents up. I guess they just needed a shower.
They needed to wash that purple shit off of their bodies.
They didn't wake up until Ivan was actually destroyed.
Oh, okay.
They're still getting they're still getting fire hosed.
I get it. Okay.
So he's just fire hosing them away from the ledge.
Okay. The Rangers grapple with Ivan in the path of the comet and kick him in the nards to break free just as the comet strikes.
The emergency nard button.
Yes. The emergency.
In case of emergencies, you can kick someone in the nards.
That's the emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that should be
basically if somebody gets the upper hand on you, kicking yeah. the nards.
Yeah.
The Zord nard kick.
We should definitely all get one punch a month. One legal punch.
So he gets destroyed.
You mean in case of emergency?
No. Oh, so many people need
Josh,
a punch
just
in the
wants
face
to punch someone once a month.
Yeah,
you can sign up. That's, you can subscribe for that.
That's a long and short.
You just have to be really rich. Mel Gibson still is subscribed.
Right. That's what I'm talking. One day a month. It's not. It's like The Purge.
Alec Baldwin
for people
his
in lines
laps
at grocery stores.
Yeah. You just need a delivery person.
As they were struggling or flying past the before they grappled in space.
Who's that now?
The Megazord.
The and, Mighty Morphin Power Ivan. Rangers, Josh. Yeah.
As they fly past the moon, we see Rita and Zed still trapped in the snow globe.
Yes.
And they cheer on the Rangers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they're pissed at Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
So before ultimately our heroes win, is Ivan a bigger threat than Thanos? He's purple.
Yeah, yeah. He had some Thanos stuff going on. Yeah. I don't think he was a bigger threat than Thanos because he was not trying to take out
feeding people purple
Thanos,
goo. Universe.
Thanos has no powers.
That's true.
Until he has the gauntlet.
He's just smart.
Well, and he's large.
He's large and strong.
He can fight you.
In the comics, Thanos is a little bit magical, which
he's,
is...
Well, I mean, yeah, he's from another solar system, but...
Well,
he is the Mad Titan.
We went this far without making reference to the most famous purple.
Yeah, purple right, lumpy face guy.
Yeah.
Grimace.
Very ugly. Yeah. Grimace yeah. looking.
Grimace v. Thanos v. Ivanus.
Yeah.
Rage in
my
the
money's
cage.
On Grimace.
The octagon. Four men go in. One.
Ivan's plan was much slower than.
Yeah,
Ivan's plan was much sneakier.
His,
too.
Well, his plan was to dig a hole or two,
right? And then kill everyone whose mind he controls.
Yeah. It also takes time for ooze to ooze.
That's true. Yeah.
Depends
on its viscosity.
Here's my question.
Yes.
So, okay, this is an American city. Somewhere there's a governor of the state that this city is in. Who's like, hey, there's some stuff going on over there. Can we get the National Guard in or something?
Everybody stay home.
They call the Power Rangers. Yeah, everybody just stay home. This will work itself out.
The entire world is like Commissioner Gordon calling Batman. Just wait for the Power Rangers.
I mean, they
just
can teleport
get it down.
On a rainbow. So they are protecting more than just Angel Grove, I would hope.
The entire LGBT
Everything seems to be focused on Angel Grove, for sure.
It's one of those classic conundrums of superheroes. Are you the problem?
Yeah.
Are they coming here because you're here?
Yeah.
You know, would Jack Nicholson still just be a lawyer if it weren't for Batman?
So the parents of Angel Grove wake up and everyone hugs. The Rangers arrive back at the command center too late. Zordon's dead. But they know what kind of a movie they're in, and they quickly use their power to reverse all the damage to the building and bring Zordon back to life.
Yeah, dude, when the Blue Ranger kissed him, I was surprised. That's why they casted such an older actor.
Zordon comes back to life.
That Seal song was playing, bro.
Baby!
It's great. I remember this scene. Yep.
My power, my pleasure, my pain.
Just so it's said on air, Thoreau, you thought of it after we were trying to figure out the style of Kiss Like a Rose.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't diatonic. You came up with it.
Yeah, it was
pentatonic.
Pentatonic.
Yeah. Just wanted our listeners who heard us last week discussing this.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
Yeah, that's it's the same. It's the same scale as Greensleeves, Scarborough Fair by Simon and Garfunkel, Norwegian Wood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the Rangers.
Pac-Man Fever.
Barbie Girl. There's.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Damn it. Why'd you say that?
I worked in a record store when Barbie Girl came out.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, so terrible.
So, that night, there's a carnival to celebrate their victory, and the White Ranger shows his affection for the Pink Ranger by laying a single chaste hand upon her shoulder.
Yeah.
Fred is encouraged by the Rangers. That's it.
He's going to be the Silver or Gold Ranger at some point.
Yeah, he said gold, so there isn't one yet because there did become one, right?
I'm pretty sure there's all sorts of colors of Ranger.
Down the road, there is a Gold Ranger. Well, okay, so...
I want to go see him. Do you guys want to walk up there?
This movie has gotten me talking a lot with my hands.
I love it, yeah.
Just cause, and arms and just thrusting.
Because they're wearing masks, so they do a lot of gesticulating.
Which is good, because otherwise they would have been really boring to watch on screen.
Yeah. Oh, God. If they were just standing there having conversations, not moving, but their faces.
Bunch of stormtrooper dialogue.
But Tommy told Fred that, what is it, you're in line to be a ranger yourself?
Yeah. Is that how that works?
Yeah. No,
they just find wayward kids.
Like, right. We're looking over your resume now.
Yeah. Well, and also, we're not the Rangers. We're secret, but you're in line.
We're just a really cool group of kids.
Okay, yeah, you're
who
right.
Who can afford to go out to brunch together.
Yeah, so maybe he meant, I see.
So ultimately it's Zordon who decides who becomes a ranger, but I guess the current rangers are committee.
Yeah. Until they get to
throw in their
teenagers.
2 cents. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's technically the hiring manager, though. That's true.
Yeah, for sure.
This movie did get an explainer song.
Really did.
Aye, 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 by Power Jet.
Which was Alpha's catchphrase.
Right.
God, the tone sounds just like Out Come the Wolves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is,
it's that same year.
Well, this is totally like mid-90s, like power punk pop.
It's so crazy.
And when the rap comes in, he says, "Keep moving faster. You're a comic book master." So we get another rap artist that was hired. He's like, I don't get this shit. This white people nonsense. Like, kicking they slap a friend.
The Mighty Morphin Rangers. That's the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. All right, guys. I don't know. Is there much to say about this?
The observatory is going to be bummed.
Oh, yeah.
Because they blew up the comet.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be like, bummed, yeah.
Oh, they're going to get a great show.
Yeah.
If that's anybody's true. Watching.
Well, it was daytime in Angel Grove.
That's true.
When it,
not
but
optimal conditions.
The debris, I suppose, as it rains down upon the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to be an issue at all.
Yeah,
everything's fine. Stay in your homes.
And we've said it with a number of movies. I'm like, where it's like, this is good because it's a kids movie, but this one definitely was, and it felt, it felt like it. And so I felt everything really worked.
Yeah,
for a 10-year-old, for 11,
Oh yeah, I definitely agree.
The things that can't be explained.
It did what it was trying to do, and in that way, it was a successful.
Well, and the two seasons
piece of entertainment,
but it was a really. Exciting show or successful show, so the anticipation and the excitement was probably similar, like I said, to movies in our past.
Yeah, it was a legitimate
kids were looking
kid forward. Phenomenon at that point. Yeah,
I bet they were stoked, so it wasn't bad.
For what it was trying to be, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which does lead us to to ranking it.
Well, here comes the caveat. It was also terrible.
Yes. Yeah. It was not a good movie.
Where are our Toxic Avengers? Where are those movies
at? We're much older.
So here's the question. Is it better than Quest for Peace?
Yeah.
I also agree. I think
their spaceship was more implausible.
Yes, it really was. I think it was better. Was it better?
They didn't have silver nails.
Back to the comet, just real quick.
Cloth in a
the Earth seemed rather unconcerned that this comet was traveling within the orbit of the moon.
Yeah, they didn't give a shit.
That's really close.
That's coronavirus. That should be concerning. Yeah,
that's deep impact.
Yeah,
shit there.
Anyway, yeah,
yeah, because it's gonna come back.
All right. So it's definitely not the worst. Number 29, we have Toxic Avenger Part 3.
I could make arguments that it's better than Toxic 3.
I think it might
be. I could
be.
Make those arguments, but I don't personally think that.
Okay. Al, where do you come down?
It's around here.
Yeah.
Okay, so above Toxic 3, we have The Shadow. Is this better or worse than The Shadow?
Better than The Shadow.
Yeah.
I think so. That was a stinker, man.
Yeah, that movie was so terrible.
It didn't deliver anything it promised. No.
It was bad.
This movie was not confusing like all of those other movies were.
That's true.
Production quality was good.
That's true. Yeah. This movie was very clear.
Costuming was good.
Above The Shadow, we have the original Toxic Avenger. I don't think it was...
That's where it's in Toxic Avenger range-ish. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's better than The Shadow, honestly. Yeah.
All right. Do we think it's better than The Toxic Avenger?
Mm. No.
The original?
Toxie One's got Moxie.
Toxie One was doing a thing. I mean, it was terrible to watch, but...
No, but it created a specific genre, like thought was put in.
Yeah.
This was equally doing a thing and equally terrible.
Yeah.
I can put it below that because this doesn't have, a low budget. This had an incredible budget.
Yeah.
And a television production that was marketing and toys and all that shit, whereas Toxie was just some nerds.
Yeah. Al, thoughts?
Toxic Avenger better.
Okay. I think that's a fair place to put it. At number 28 in between Toxic Avenger and The Shadow.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. All right. That's where it's going. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers going at number 28 out of 31. We are cruising through this list, fellas.
Yeah. It's been a year almost.
That's it for the Power Rangers.
Next time
on Harmless Phosphorescence, gentlemen, we will be watching The Phantom.
You better listen to your friend Billy Zane.
That's right.
Shut it, Zane.
That's it, everybody. Stay safe, stay home. Listen to us and other podcasts at home alone.
Avoid ooze.
Avoid the ooze.
Don't eat purple ooze.
Do not.
Even if it's free.
For at least the next 2 weeks.
Even if the guy giving it to you is really nice.
And it rhymes a lot.
Yeah, weird.
Just because he has a wizard hat on doesn't mean you can trust him.
I thought that was a rule.
I grew up with the opposite. Yeah. He's wearing a wizard hat.
I've eaten all kinds of weird shit that wizard hat guys gave me.
Do not go to a second location with the wizard.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We will be seeing you next time. This is Master of Disaster, Throw Smiley.
I'm Josh Cece, and touch me again, and you'll be chicken wings in the morning.
I'm Brian Lesh. Remember to use your head, and above all, stay calm.
I'm Alaric Weber. Have you hugged your swords today?
Thanks, everybody. Bye!
Bye! Bye.
Harmless Phosphorescence was brought to you by executive producer Atticus Burkett, producers Michael Beckwith, Jojo Birchtree, Hedda Paulson, Kirsten Reed and Alyssa Dent, and Katie and Finn Thorpe. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Harmless Phosphorescence is a part of the Harmless Entertainment Network. Become a patron at patreon.com/harmlessentertainment. Thank you for listening.